Hi, this is Rachel True, and you're listening to Girls Will Be Ghouls podcast.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Girls Will Be Ghouls. We are on episode 7. I'm Zena Dixon, realqueenofhorror.com, and I'm here with my co-host, Ashley Blackwell of graveyardshiftsisters.com.
Hey!
How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You were telling me earlier that you guys are going through a heat wave.
It's like, it's not even a heat wave. It's like the last 90 degree day here, I hope. This is how we break the ice. We need to talk about the weather because I'm stuck in this sweat box of a room to record and have it sound as clear as humanly possible to my, I don't know what the word is. I only have but so many resources and means to try to make this sound professional, even though it probably doesn't, but we're trying. But yeah, so it's really hot in here, but I'm happy to be doing this regardless.
And I love your dedication. Well, you're willing to sweat it out for the listeners.
Pretty much.
Okay, well, today we're going to be doing something pretty awesome. So first, with our horror theme discussion, it's going to be like a back-to-school horror list. After that, we're going to talk about Venom. It came out in 2005. But before we do jump into that,
there's something new going on with us. We got some updates. We are finally on Twitter. It's at Girls Will Be Ghouls. The will is W-I-L, and the B is not B-E, it's B. So if I'm going to spell it out for you, it's at Girls Will Be Ghouls. It's G-I-R-L. Am I saying this right? Yeah, I can't spell. It's G-I-R-L-S-W-I-L-B, as in B. B as in the letter B. Ghouls, which is G-H-O-U-L-S. And we also have a website, so we're on WordPress, people. It's Girls Will Be Ghouls, all spelled out the way it's supposed to, .wordpress.com. Check it out. All of our episodes are going to be there from now on. That's where our feed is. And also, that includes iTunes. Yay!
Yay.
Figured out iTunes.
Yeah, thanks to you.
Pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But so we're on iTunes. We're working on getting on Stitcher as well. But you can take us on the go very easily. So I'm very happy about that. So find us there. Also, as usual, we are on Legion Podcast as well.
That's all thanks to you, Ashley, especially the iTunes.
I don't even know how I figured it out. I do want to say thank you to a couple people on Twitter. Actually reached out, and they helped me. They guided me through the kind of process. That's Martin from Nerdy Little Secret, as well as Justin, I believe his name is. I only know his Twitter handle, which I think is The Painted Dan. So those two guys were really sweet, and they helped me kind of figure things out. Like, if I was really hitting a brick wall, they were able to kind of help me break through it and send me some links as to kind of some help. The help forms that I couldn't find, they found for me.
Yeah.
So a lot of YouTubing and Googling and stuff, as long and with them giving me also additional resources, really helped. So it wasn't that difficult. I don't know. I'm not a tech person, so mm-hmm. That's the other thing. But I'm just a writer.
No, but you did a great thing. So shout out to those guys who helped us out. Besides from that, is there anything else that you've been up to?
Have I been up to anything? And just the usual stuff. I'm, you know, preparing for fall as far as the television series that are coming out that are featuring a lot of Black women. So that's really exciting. So, you know, your Sleepy Hollow, your Ash versus Evil Dead, all of those cool shows I'm really looking forward to. There's more shows coming out in 2016 that I'm more excited about, like Damien, the A&E show.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty much like The Omen. Like, They're obviously not going to get so heavy into. They're only basing it off of the first one, because obviously in the second one is where he came to terms with being, you know, who he is. And so they're kind of ignoring that clearly, because he's like older now, and this is apparently he's older in the series, so he's going to like all come to terms with it there and stuff. And so a lot of cool. I'm looking forward to a lot of cool television. A lot of cool, great movies are coming out. We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about our movie watch recommendations, but you know, a lot of movies. So I'm just excited about just the fall, just being the fall, being cooler weather. Being, you know, the leaves changing and Halloween. Everyone's excited about Halloween, so that's always fun.
That, you don't understand, like, well, I'm pretty sure you do, but this is like the greatest time of year right now that is upon us. And there's like no excuses for some people, like, Halloween is on a Saturday, okay? It is on a Saturday. You better have your plans together. You know, like, I'm so sick of people, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, you better do something. I don't know what, but you need to do something. Out of all the shows, though, I just want to take a step back with the shows that you were mentioning. Is there a certain one that you're looking forward to the most?
Oh, yeah, definitely Damien. But again, that doesn't come out until, like, next year. But I think, I guess for, like, this month of September, I guess, I would say Scream Queens, probably. I'm just, like, hoping that's good, because Ryan Murphy is, I don't know if I actually wrote it out, but I kind of feel like Ryan Murphy is just kind of, he's one of them dudes who's just like, he has his whole idea of what a black woman is, and it's like a white guy's interpretation of a black female character, and it doesn't always work for me. Like, it's weird, and I think I say that because of what I heard about Kiki Palmer's character.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, her name is Zayday.
Yeah,
like,
I don't even think
I've ever known a black girl with the name Zayday, but whatever. And just like in the way she describes her, I'm like, oh, she's going to be, I forget what it is, because I don't want to say it, because, but it comes off as very like your sassy black girl trope.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I hope there's more to her character, or I'm going to be mad, because it does look like a fun show. Jamie
yeah.
Lee Curtis is going to be on it, so I mean, that's a selling point.
Mm-hmm,
for me.
Definitely.
Yeah. Which one are you looking forward to?
American Horror Story, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Every single morning, you know, I put on American Horror Story to watch on Netflix.
Every morning?
Every morning. I used to watch Bob's Burgers, but I got
through. But you got me into.
That show's hilarious.
I'm watching it almost every night.
I just want to hang out with Tina. She seems like so much fun. But
Tina has way too many hormones for a 13-year-old girl, but okay.
She's funny. You know what my favorite episode is, though?
Which one?
Remember the part where their mom, she wanted a bed and breakfast or whatever, so she turned their apartment into that?
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember
she,
that one.
Yeah, so she gave away Louise's room.
Mm-hmm.
And so Gene and Tina were showing her around. And Gene starts off like, oh, since you're new here, I'll show you around. And basically, they're just on their parents' bed.
Mm-hmm.
Point is, you remember what Tina started doing, how she started, like, thrusting.
The thrashing.
I cried when I saw that, because they went to sleep and she was still doing that. Like, how can you even go to sleep when someone's doing that? I don't know. I know it's a cartoon, but it made me laugh. But
yeah.
Back to American Horror Story. I just really, really love the series. I think that it's great. Yeah, of course, it has its ups and downs. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you, I didn't really care for a freak show. You know?
I stopped watching after a couple episodes because I just wasn't into it.
I was hoping that it would turn around, but it's like, I don't know. I just felt like it was kind of dry. Like, I've seen that before. But I really liked the first one. And I liked the first season. And I really liked season three. Season two, it was okay. There were certain parts that were okay. But I'm just really looking forward to it because of the cast. It seems like a diverse cast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sad that Jessica's not going to be there. But hopefully it's still going to be, you know, a great season. And I don't know, I'm in love with it. I've never really noticed what you said about with Ryan Murphy.
It's sometimes and it's all the time. I think he's really sneaky because, first of all, I mean, Angela Bass is the perfect example. I mean, she's she's been doing this for how long? So she's going to bring a lot of what she knows as an actress to a character regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of, like, blends seamlessly. Like, her character isn't, you know, quote, offensive. You know what I mean?
Right.
But Gabrielle Sidibe's character and what she had to go through, it's like, I can see why people have a problem with this. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't have a direct issue with it, but I can kind of tell. It's kind of, like, sometimes the way he writes characters of color is a little suspect and a little kind of, you know. That's just me personally. And like I said, with Scream Queens, like, I don't know what to expect. Because it looks like it's chock full of tropes, but at the same time, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping for that. But yeah, that's how I feel about it. I think a lot of people were kind of like lukewarm about Coven. I'm like you. I really liked Coven, like, pretty much all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like season two was okay. It was still, like, really watchable, and I enjoyed it. But I think this is what also happens, and this is what I'm afraid is going to happen with Hotel. There's just too many characters and too much going on, so it doesn't feel like a cohesive, like, miniseries. Because there's, like, so many different side stories, and so it doesn't... I don't know. For me, like, sometimes too much is... Sometimes you can do too much with you know, a short amount of space that you're given. And I think, and that's, I like the fact that American Horror Story works as, like, you know, a season is kind of a mini series where it's like a different story each season.
Right.
But then it kind of, you can kind of shoot yourself in the foot if you're bringing in all these different characters and there's like 1,000 different stories going on and nothing really kind of gels. So I'm just hoping that doesn't happen. And I think that happened in season two a little bit. And with Hotel, and it's like every single announcement, like, every week this summer about this big star joining the cast, it's like, okay, like, I just want a good story. Like, you don't need to hire all these celebrities. Like, we get it. Like, you have clout.
I just think that, like, even with Naomi Campbell
mm-hmm.
being in it, honestly, I don't feel like she's going to have, like, a major role. I just feel like she's probably just going to have, like, an appearance because... Like, when I first heard about the first season, and they said, what's that guy's name?
Evan Peters?
No, not Evan Peters. They made it seem like he was going to have, like, a major role, like, in the series in general. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool because I've never seen him. What's Morris Chestnut. And he was in the
season.
They made it seem, because I just remember, they just, oh, he's going to be in this and that. And it's just like, oh, okay, you know, cool. He was barely in it. So I just feel like don't get me wrong, he was there and people knew who he was. He had, at least his character had a name. But I don't know, it's not the same. You know what I mean? He's not a major character. So that's what I'm expecting. I don't expect her to be... a major one. He was probably on 4-5 episodes, but each time he probably got like 5 minutes time, you know? So, which isn't a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just, I just feel like that's probably their selling point, because maybe there's people who like Lady Gaga, but they never watched the show, and now they'll watch the show just to see her. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I'm not crazy about her. I'm not crazy about that Chloe Slovene chick either. But whatever. Regardless of any minor critique I have, the shows are extremely entertaining. So, you know, I'm looking forward to kind of live tweeting with everyone and watching it. And hopefully it's good, you know.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, that's one thing I can't do. Like, I can't live tweet. I get too emotional when it comes to this show. This is like probably the only show that I can't do it with, because I remember when I used to watch like the Walking Dead heavily, I used to tweet while watching it. But I don't want to miss anything, so I just need put my phone down or just watch it. I'll come back afterwards, you know, after the show's over, we can all start tweeting again. But you know something, with you talking about Ryan Murphy's like writing when it comes to characters of color. Mm-hmm. There was one thing I remember that he said from with the first season, since it's fresh in my mind, you know. Not really with about anyone of color, but do you remember Kate Mara? She was in it, her character.
Was she the annoying girl who was sleeping with the dude?
Yeah, hate it.
Okay,
she was so annoying. Anyway, with her character, I remember she said something like she was explaining to someone about why she felt so good and powerful. She was just like how, because, you know, I'm young, I'm white. And it's just like, what? That's what she said. But yeah, that's what she said. And it was just kind of like, it made me laugh, but it was kind of like, oh my God, I can't believe that she said that. So, but it's still pretty cool. Just an FYI.
Yeah, let me say, it's not all him. Because he does have, you know, Brad Falchuk and all these other guys that he works with and stuff. I don't know if there's any women in a writing room. I don't know that for
sure.
Yeah, he has his own little team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm glad he, at the very least, is hiring these veterans like Jessica Lange and, you know, Kathy Bates and Angela Bassett, of course, because they know what they're doing. So, you know, they're taking on the character and kind of doing what they know how to do as far as honing in on the craft. So that's a saving grace.
Mm-hmm.
These younger actresses, who still need guidance. So we'll see. And Kiki Palmer included, even though Kiki Palmer has been acting since she was a kid as well. So, but still.
I don't know. Like, yeah. I'm sorry.
you're still going off of Animal.
No. I promise. I wasn't going to mention Animal this time. That subject is, that movie's dead to me. But I like her. I think that she's really cute. You know, I like what she represents because she seems very positive. You know, she doesn't seem skanky.
Yeah.
But I'm like you with her character. I'm unsure about what to expect with her character. Is it a spoiler if I say what kind of character they say that she is?
No, not at all. I don't think so.
Didn't they say that she's supposed to have like a southern accent and
kind
of be?
I think something. I remember the word southern, but like I said. That's why I didn't want to say anything because I don't remember exactly what was said.
I could be wrong, but I don't know. I remember even when you watch some of the just videos about it or even with her interviews at Comic-Con. But, I mean, I guess we'll see, though. Could be wrong.
That's all we can do. We'll see. We're prejudging. But I'm sorry. I have a right to because this is the kind of stuff we have to go through all the time with people who look like us on television, and we have to see them, and they're interpreted by someone else who doesn't look like us either, and whatever. I'm sick of it. So, but I'm also optimistic.
Yeah. Maybe it will surprise us.
Yeah, because that's why I'm interested in like Damien and those other shows more, because I feel like the characters on that show, though, especially the black women, are just they're not going to be caricatures. They're just going to be like seamless characters that blend into the story that, you know, that centers around, you know, whoever the main character or characters are. And like in Damien, the one girl, I'm going to butcher her name, but let me see if I can find it. Her name is, let me do this. Because her name is Megalyn Echikunwoke. I'm probably butchering that name.
No, that
but
sounds
like,
right, actually.
She is the main character in Damien. Like, she's in all 10 episodes that they have so far.
That's great.
And she's, like, right under the guy who's playing Damien on IMDb. So, you know, I mean, I feel like she's going to play a major role, and she's just going to be a person there doing whatever she's supposed to be doing. So, I'm excited about that. Like, she's just going to be, like, a woman of color just being a person. So, you know, that sounds silly.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing, like, special about her, but you know what I mean? Like, she's not, like, that sassy black girl or she's not, oh, I'm from the streets. Like, no, she's just
Yeah, and so, but I think that's, like I said, that's the only reason I feel like we should give Scream Queens at least a few chances, like a hard pass, is because it seems like every character is playing some kind of a,
yeah,
not stereotype, but like some kind of a, I don't know, some kind of a stock person or character or whatever. So, and that's probably the shtick of the series, so I'm like, okay. I just want to see, you know, I just want a show to be good, because it's supposed to be horror comedy, clearly. Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing.
I think it will be.
Mm-hmm.
I
think, were you done? Is there anything else?
No, that was all for me.
Okay. The next thing I kind of wanted to bring up, of course, Zena reached out to me first about it, but I decided to let's do it, you know. Let's not do it too soon, because everyone else is doing it right now, it seems like. You know, I found out about the news about Wes Craven. It was Sunday night. I'm in the middle of watching Fear the Walking Dead. And, of course, it's on my Twitter timeline. And so I think my heart, like, sank to my stomach, to the pit of my stomach. Because I was just like, because, you know, you don't believe these things when you first see them.
Yeah.
But then I keep scrolling, and I see it. And it's true, you know, Wes Craven passed away at the age of 76 of brain cancer. And so I had that, you know, you have that moment where you're just really, really sad,
mm-hmm.
and you don't really know what to do because you're just like in kind of a shock.
Mm-hmm.
And so all I could really think is I need a hug. So I needed a hug, and I just started crying. Not in even a fake way, but in like a way that you're like, you don't realize how much of this person that you never knew, but you knew his work,
mm-hmm.
very intimately, and it was a big part of kind of my horror fandom. And you know, I shed a few tears. I didn't bawl out of control, of course. But a few tears dropped because I was just so like, it just shook me, and so I don't even know how to explain it, but I was really, really sad. And you know, for you know, a good day or two, it's pretty, you know, not depressed or anything, but it's just really sad. And you know, it made me realize how much, you know, if there's no Freddy Krueger, this podcast, you know, you would probably be doing it with someone else, probably not entirely, but probably, because you know, A Nightmare on Elm Street was that entire franchise, even, was just a big part of my horror fandom. I mean, like, literally, like, the first things I remember seeing as a kid is that New Line Cinema logo on my television all the damn time, mm-hmm. because I'm a kid of the 80s, and Freddy Krueger was everywhere back then, and that was my first association with horror, was that logo. And, you know, it's like a chain effect. Like, you know, without Wes, New Line would not have become what it became. So I was pretty sad, and you know, like I said, Zena asked if she wanted us to do a Wes Craven episode, and I said let's save that for, you know, later, like before the end of the year, but not, you know, immediately, because everyone's doing it right now, eulogizing. And honestly, there's a lot of Wes Craven films that I haven't seen, so I kind of want to, you know, go back and watch some of those. You know, I'm still trying to get through The Hills Have Eyes 2. I don't think it's as terrible as everyone thinks, but I like bad movies, so I saw Deadly Blessing. So there's movies I really want to see and catch up on before we really get into it. But I don't know how you felt, Zena, when you first read about it or saw it or whatever, or even how much of Craven's movies that you like or even dislike. So,
well, like you, I wasn't shocked. Like, at first, I just thought it was just a rumor, because, you know, you're not, like, of course, who expects anything? But it's like, I was not expecting that at all. You know, I was doing my typical Sunday tradition, and I was on Netflix while on my phone at the same time and just looking at Facebook, and they have this thing at the side that comes up with trending stories. And that's when I saw it. I saw Wes Craven, you know, dead. And it's just like, no way. And then I clicked on it. And it was just kind of like, I know I didn't know him anything like that. But, you know, I'm, you know, a huge fan, especially of his storytelling and, you know, visually. It's still just like a shock. And it's just hard to believe. To believe that, you know, but at the same time, mm-hmm. you know, trying to be positive, I feel like he left behind so much stuff, you know, so much inspiration, not even just for horror films, but for people who just love films in general, you know. And I don't know, I just feel like, of course, I'm going to miss him, even though I didn't know him, but miss him and miss his work. But I feel like he had a full life, and I don't want to seem selfish, you know, because I know, you know, with some people, they were just saying, oh, he's taken too soon. And it's just like, I don't know.
Really.
Yeah, that's, yeah. You know, not really. Like, I get it. I really do, but not really. And that's why I say I feel like he had a full life. And
yeah,
plus,
yeah, 76 is, that's, you know, most people don't make it to 76.
No, not at all.
And we don't know how, you know, we don't know how the cancer really affected him, you know,
right.
Because I've actually heard other people talk on different podcasts about, you know, brain cancer. It's a pretty quick disease. It can be a very quick disease. You can find out and then, you know, be dead within a few months. You know, I can even imagine it being pretty debilitating too. And it's probably something that only his close friends and family knew. And so that's the other thing. So whatever your beliefs are, you know, I take solace in the fact that he has some sort of peace, and that he, yes, I feel like he really did live a full life. You know, I didn't know him personally. Of course, you didn't know him personally. That doesn't even need to be said, but, you know, he did a lot. I mean, there's really no other, there's no flowery way to put it. I mean, you can only talk from personal experience. I know for me, just to, you know, kind of bring this in, I think for me, like, I loved hearing his voice. Like, you can tell, I think I was drawn to him and drawn to him, like, hearing his interviews and things like that, because he has that certain cadence about him and delivery. And you can tell he actually was an English professor, so you can tell when he speaks. And I've always responded to kind of the liberal arts kind of folks who know how to, you know, who talk in a certain way, who clearly have the teaching chops. And there was an intelligence about him that I really appreciated. I mean, with most if not all of his films, like a lot of, you know, the characters and the plot and the way things were filmed, it was very intentional and very deliberate, and he was never shy about it. And in his interviews, he was always very consistent about talking about what he did. And of course, I know that because I'm an Elm Street nerd, and I've watched every single interview with him and Heather Langenkamp and Robert Englund. And let me just say, when Robert Englund passes, if he passes in my lifetime, I'm no good. I think that you know, not to get off topic, but like that would really crush me for quite a while. I think Wes's passing kind of made me think about, you know, someone said, you know, these people that we consider masters of horror are getting up there in age. They're older.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to kind of not mentally prepare, if I'm saying that correctly, in this way, for the fact that mortality is going to catch up with them. And that's not always easy. And so there's that, you know. I don't know what else to say. I feel like I'm kind of rambling at this point.
No,
but
you're fine.
We haven't recorded since August, so like early August. So I was kind of, so with all this news and catch up, I've been kind of sitting with this and kind of overthinking it, like I usually overthink everything. But yeah, I mean, I want to you know, give my condolences to his family and his friends and everyone who knew him. And I thank people like, you know, oh my God, I forget his name. I forget the guy's name. I forget his name. The guy who works on The Walking Dead. But, oh my goodness, that's going to kill me. But, yeah, just people in general, people who've worked with him in the industry, like kind of writing blog posts and, you know, sharing their thoughts and experiences with him. That's been super cool. I've really appreciated that. So thank you guys for doing that. I know you're not probably not listening to this podcast, but thank you. Sorry, I'm rambling.
No, you're fine. I'm thinking positively because there is someone who knew Wes that's listening to this podcast right now. And they're like, you know what? Thank you, Ashley. You know? So just so you know with that. But I was happy. Well, I'm happy to hear how you feel because, like you said, we haven't done this for like, it's been like a month. And just a lot has happened. And I know that you are a huge fan. So I'm definitely interested in just hearing your thoughts and for you just to share with everybody your feelings.
Yeah, man. That's going to be a list. So
yeah, that's fine.
We'll try not to mumble and ramble too much. But yeah, definitely. So yeah, look for that in the coming months. I don't know if we're going to do that in November or December, but that's definitely coming. We'll just talk about Wes Craven's films since some of the ones we liked, some of the ones we didn't. I'm personally looking forward to seeing My Soul to Take. I don't know when I'm going to see that, but I'm probably going to see it before the end of the year, of course, because I want to judge for myself. Yeah, so we've been out of the school commission for quite a while, but, you know, every time after Labor Day, you see school buses outside and all that stuff. It always brings back memories for me in a not-so-good way, in a good way. But more so now as an adult without children, might I add. Mm-hmm. It makes me think about, like, all of those back-to-school horror films or horror films that take place in schools. They usually take place in high schools. It's funny because Cooties comes out in September, and that takes place almost exclusively in a school. Everyone should go see Cooties because that's an awesome horror comedy. And so, but we have some other back in the day school-based horror films that we only talk about. But I proposed this idea to Zena because she did a back-to-school horror you should check out in Real Queen of Horror. So I really like the list. The list is very eclectic, and I think, you know, let's start with that because you probably mentioned a lot of films that probably a lot of people have not heard of. So if you want to get us started.
Yeah, sure. When I did the list, I didn't put it in order. So it wasn't like a 1 through 16, 1 being the top or anything like that. It was just kind of what comes to mind. So I'll just start off with one of them that I have. It was released in 1989 and it's After Midnight. So basically, there's this professor who's just creepy in my opinion. And I probably would have dropped his class and just ran for my life. He's teaching this class on fear, and he invites the students to his house to experience or to like have an opportunity for something real at his house. Like, doesn't that sound kind of like a porno waiting to happen? So I just thought that it just sounds really weird and creepy. I would have never showed up, but basically they end up telling scary stories, and he just like freaks some of his students out. It's not what you expect, and that's something that I like about it. Because it came out in 1989, I watched this, though, obviously when I was older, probably in 2005, 2006, that I fully remember it. I'm pretty sure I probably watched it in the 90s sometime. But, yeah, I think that it's a awesome back-to-school movie because it does take place in school, but not fully the whole time. Or throughout the whole film or anything like that. So that's, I feel like this one's a great one for people who, like if you're a fan of those like anthology films, this is, I feel like, the one for you. Have you ever seen this one?
I saw it, I don't remember when or where, but I saw it a while ago and I thought it was pretty campy. I don't remember much of it. I do remember the professor because I've seen him in other things. Like he was on an episode of Martin, strangely enough. So I knew his face, and I remember the whole him being in class and inviting his students over to his house. Like I remember all of that. But yeah. Again, it was just one of those one-off movies, and I'm just like, well, let me just check this off of my list because it's a horror movie, and I usually like these really kind of off-kilter late 80s early 90s horror movies that no one's ever heard of. So but yeah, I saw it a long time ago.
Okay. I also just have like typical ones that are on the list, you know, like The Craft, The Faculty, Suspiria, Ginger Snaps, Night of the Creeps, Scream, of course, Disturbing Behavior, The House on Sorority Row,
Which I saw the remake, which was terrible.
Really? I actually like the remake. I like it a lot.
I'm getting old and crotchety with a lot of different stuff, and this is one of those ones where it's just like, it's the same old casting of these pretty girls doing bad things and killing people and keeping secrets and running from that eventual killer.
Mm-hmm.
Yawn. So it's like, and I was just, I don't know. Like, and I've been meaning to see the original.
See, but that's the thing.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's the thing. Like, how you explained, like, the remake, that's how the remake, the original one is. Like, seriously. They just switched it up a bit, but it's like the same typical characters, pretty girls, lying. Oh, it wasn't me, you know? And it's just like, whatever. I just feel like they just kind of modernized the new one. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like you said, it is. There's typical characters, but that's how the old one is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad thing all the time. I don't know.
Yeah, because I have mostly typical ones that I wanted to bring up. I did kind of like, it's you know, it's television movie, so you gotta take that into consideration. Like, have you ever seen The Initiation of Sarah? Because that's a remake, too. It's from 2006.
I think I have. This may sound terrible, but did it come on the Lifetime channel?
I think it came on Lifetime or ABC Family or one of those.
Yeah, I have. Because the girl who's in it, one of the girls, I remember her from this other Lifetime movie. You know, sometimes when you just need to watch Lifetime movies, you don't know why. It just heals your soul or something. But yeah, I have seen it. It's been a while, though.
Yeah, so I like that one. Of course, I don't remember too much about it, but I do remember not, like, hating it. I think it was something about, like, one of the girls is a witch and has powers or something. I don't, you know what, I'm not even going to get into it. I do remember a sorority, and I think there are two rival sororities,
mm-hmm.
and one has so much prestige because they kind of harnessed a certain power, but they didn't use it for good necessarily. Oh, I'm terrible at trying to remember stuff like this. I don't know. I'm getting rusty with my synopses, but because I wrote about this film like pretty much immediately after I saw it, so I don't remember too much. I just kind of used the information and just kind of dumped it. But yeah, it's based on like a college campus kind of a thing, and there's like a lot of cool dynamics in it. Like, there's a sister relationship going on between the girl who, Summer Glau. So people know her from, I think, was she in Serenity? She's like a sci-fi genre actress that a lot of people know. Like, she was in the Sarah Connor Chronicles. And Tessa Thompson from Dear White People was in it. And
Veronica
also
Mars.
Also Veronica Mars.
Yes. Don't forget about that show.
Yeah, so she's in it. Morgan Fairchild is in it. So, yeah, I mean, I liked it. I thought it was cool. Yeah, and like you mentioned, like, yeah, Carrie's on your list. I have Carrie on. Carrie was one of the ones I wanted to mention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, disturbing behavior. Scream. I've always liked Scream 2. I've always had kind of an affinity for it because probably because I did see it in the theater. Like, I remember, like, being in 10th grade and, like, everyone was talking about Scream 2, and I'm trying to figure out, like, who I knew, who I was friends with, wanted to go see it with me, like opening night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, like, so Scream 2 has a special place in my heart. But, yeah, I don't know if I'm, like, there's a lot of back-to-school horror films that I still want to see. Like, I've never finished Return to Horror High.
Mm-hmm.
So I still want to see that, and there's some other ones. I think there's a movie called Slaughter High that's really good. I heard it's pretty good. Yeah, there's Prom Night and, you know, Terror Train. Is Terror Train a school horror? I don't know. But whatever.
They were in college, so that's kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
They were
train
party. I don't know.
So, yeah, the typical ones from, like, when I was a teenager that you mentioned, and then some older, some newer. You had some on your list, like, that were foreign. So you had some, like, good films from Asia, places like that.
Yes. There's Suicide Club that came out in 2002. That's a Japanese movie. It's just basically about these just random people just randomly committing suicide in the worst kind of a way. Like, it's just like so gory, so out of control, but like, it's just very, very weird the ways that they choose. But it's like, I would never want to go to school if stuff like that was happening. Another one I have is a Korean horror called Death Bell. Just about these students in high school, and they're about to take like this test for college during like school break. You know, they're like little overachievers or whatever. But then there's like this random unknown killer that's kidnapping each student one by one. And in order to like save the student's life, the students, as well as the teachers, they have to answer a question that's usually like a puzzle, you know? And it's like, you're already getting so much pressure since you have to take that test. But it's like, because it's pretty freaky because they didn't know who it was going to be next. It was just completely random. Some of them were even taken in like broad daylight. Some of them were taken while in groups. So, you know, that rule, well, don't go in the dark or don't go alone. It doesn't even matter, you know? So that's a pretty cool one, especially if you really like Asian horror, which I adore. So that's why they definitely had to be on the list. And just another one that I've had, well, there's like two more. One of them, it's like a comedy horror called Dance of the Dead. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it.
It's hilarious. Like, it's just so ridiculous and over the top. But basically, this guy, this teenager, he's just like, you know, the class clown. And his girlfriend's getting really sick of it. So she pretty much breaks up with him and goes to prom with someone else. And hours later, you know, he's pretty much trying to save her because there's like a zombie outbreak in their town. And it goes on to prom night. So there's that one. And it came out in 2008. There's another movie that came out recently that has a similar title. I haven't seen it. Can't really remember the name, but it's like when I read the synopsis, it sounded very similar to that one. But this one came out in like 2008. Last one, it was just more of like a honorable mention. It's an Australian movie and it's a thriller called Fortress about this teacher, and she's just like a small town, like kind of teacher, and she teaches students like from ages kindergarten to up till maybe middle school. But for some reason, they're all in the same class. Like, I don't know. But anyway, basically, they get kidnapped by these men in masks. And they're wearing, like, weird-looking masks. And it's not really scary as in, oh, the monster's going to get you. It's scary kind of in a realistic kind of a way. She has these students that she has to, you know, take care of. She can't just run off and leave them. So, but they pretty much, at first they're like running away from these guys, but then after a while they just realize they have to fight back because they're not going to stop. And I always say that you can compare this movie to like Home Alone and Lord of the Flies. So it's kind of like that mixture of it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Do you have any other that's on your back to school list?
No, I wouldn't. I guess, I don't know what Donnie Darko is, but I don't know if it's a horror movie. I don't think it is, but it's a movie that makes me think of school a lot, and it's, I don't know, it's one of those weird movies that makes sense, but really it doesn't, and I always like watching it, and it's very centered around school and around this around this kind of culture of what institution means, and I always love that about it, so, or institutions like school, mm-hmm. for example. But it's not a horror movie, but it's a genre movie in a really bizarre way. So that's probably the last one I have. Because again, like I was trying to think about it. I'm like, do I watch a lot of like horror films that take place in schools? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like, I don't know. More genres and not themes that I kind of latch on to when I'm looking for films and stuff. But yeah, that's about it for me.
Okay. Did you like
Oh yeah. okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't blown away by it, mm-hmm. but it wasn't awful. I didn't hate it.
I know that this...
Yeah. It was just so cheesy. Just some parts of it were for me.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I was drawn to watching this movie because I know that it's a remake mm-hmm. of this Japanese movie, and the girl name is Tomai or something like that. Most likely I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. I'm sorry. But yeah, it's just a remake of that. But that one was a series like in Japan, and it was... Like, the more it went on, it just got cheesier and outrageous. Like, I stopped at 3. I don't even remember how many more there is out there in the world. But, I don't know. I was set on watching this movie when it came out. But I remember it didn't come out in a lot of theaters. So, not a lot of people remember it or even heard of it because of that. But, oh, and it's kind of predictable, too. Like, if you've seen, you know the storyline. So, it's like, if you've seen one.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if you know the storyline, most likely you'll be able to tell what happens. And I guess that's about it for me. I don't want to keep on going.
Yeah, me too.
So, would you like to dive into the review of Venom?
Yep.
So, we'll be back with that.
Hi, this is Rachel True, and you're listening to Girls Will Be Ghouls podcast.
Something got a hold of them good down there.
Sheriff, was there a suitcase?
Yeah, there was. We pulled it out. It was empty, though.
Oh, my God.
I know it doesn't make any sense, but something really, really weird is going on.
Venom was released in 2005, and the synopsis is, a pack of teenagers run for their lives through the swamps of Louisiana as they are chased by Mr. Jangles, a man possessed by 13 evil souls who is relentless in his pursuit of new victims. It was written by Flint Dial and John Zerplatten, also directed by Jim Gillespie, and starred Agnes Bruckner as Eden Sinclair, Jonathan Jackson as Eric, Laura Ramsey as Rachel, DJ Petrona as Sean, Rick Kramer as Ray Sawyer, and Megan Good as Cece. So I'm going to let you... I know I picked this film.
See, but I'm more interested on how you feel, because I've seen the movie... So many times.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
I think it was a movie that could have been better than it was. And what I mean by that is that, you know, regardless of the little things I'm going to get into in a few minutes, but I just felt like that whiny little guy, Sean, you know, bitching about, you know, Ray being his father... Like, just, sometimes I think a film suffers from one too many side stories. And just like, you know, yeah, the guy Sean in the movie, you know, the guy Ray's, this one guy Ray's his dad, but he's like a deadbeat dad, he didn't grow up with him or whatever. And he like, and why do we care about Sean? He's one of those expendable characters. He's that teenage horror guy who's like the machismo like dickhead, and so that's like pretty much what he was in the movie. And so I don't care about him. It's like the movie clearly is focused on this killer and why he is a killer, which brings in like characters like Megan Good, who plays Cece. Like, why wasn't she kind of a The focus should have kind of been on the killer and Cece. So I think the movie falls into like all of these like these traps that I'm kind of like sick of. Like, it's kind of just like, you know, it takes place down in the bayou, and there's voodoo that's going on with it. And so a lot of the black characters, and you know, I have issues with this trope, but you know, like, this is one case where it's kind of sort of true. So like, most of the black characters are dying first, or they just are not on the screen anymore. And then like, you bring in Megan Good's character, who I thought she had a bigger role before I first saw her for the first time, but she doesn't. She's kind of like the Negro spiritual guide to the white people who don't really believe anything that she's saying in the first place. And so I wish that her character was just more of a focal point. It's super like into like Eden and Eric and like their relationship, and like, who cares? I don't care if you want to be it's just dumb. Like, I don't care if you want to be a doctor and move away. And why is Eric so whiny about like you wanting to like move to New York to go to school and have a better life for yourself? Oh, I want my girlfriend to go to school in Louisiana. Well, she don't want to go to Louisiana. Y'all teenagers, y'all gonna meet all types of people and not be together forever. Get over yourself. And so like little things like that just kind of bothered me, where it really took away from what could have been a really strong story. And you know, I don't personally have too much of an issue with this, but I can see the problem is that it's constantly in Hollywood where they're taking the religion of voodoo and making it something that's inherently evil when it's not. We've discussed that before on the show. And I can see why that's an issue. But if you're gonna use it, and you're gonna use it for horror and kind of display the malevolent side of it, not the benevolent side of it, then you know, do it right and really focus on it, and focus on the people that are wielding the power. Like, why does Miss Emmy, like Megan Good's Cece's grandma, die so early? Like, why? Like, it's such a waste. Like, I don't care about these white teenagers. They don't really believe in the power of whatever's going on. So, like, and if they're going to be a part, I can see how denial works. Clearly, denial works for film sometimes. But like, if it's just, I don't know, it was just kind of a mess. And it could have been a better movie. I feel like I wanted it to be a better movie because it had enough characters to really, that could have been more than what they were. It could have been better. But they just I don't know. I'm sorry, but
no,
that's kind of how I feel about it.
You're fine.
I'm kind of in the middle of the road, so.
So, okay, would you watch the movie again?
No.
Okay.
I already watched it twice.
All right, well, I have to be honest with you. I really like this movie a lot. I know that like, a lot of people hated it. This is what I notice whenever I ask people about this movie. Either they've never seen it because they never heard of it before, or, you know, something like that, or they just hated it. So around the time when it was supposed to be released, it didn't really get like a good marketing kind of a campaign, I guess you can call it, because they didn't start promoting it until like the last week of like the actual release. I think because of Hurricane Katrina. And they were promoting it in, you know, Louisiana. And because of, you know, that happened, you know, you can't, they just didn't promote it. And it's crazy because I remember when it came out. This was obviously in 2005. It was on September 16th. That's my sister's birthday. And went to the movies, and I remember seeing the poster for Venom. Never heard of it before. Never seen like the preview, like the trailers on TV, nothing. Not the posters anywhere, never heard of it. So instead, I remember I saw Cry Wolf. And you know, that was that. Then I remember probably like a year afterwards, I watched the movie, and I just liked it. It just seemed like it was made for horror fans, and maybe that's making me a little bit biased. Like, just like you said, like with the characters, like they are whiny. I feel like they are very typical, like just the very typical one, like kinds of characters. And I feel like this is a prime example of a movie that has horrible characters. I feel like if there were characters that were likable, then maybe it could have been better, because I felt like the storyline was pretty cool. It was creepy. To me, it was creepy. And I'm not going to lie. Like, when I saw that Megan Good was in it, I knew that she would die. I just kind of thought that she would have been dead at the credits, you know, the opening credits. But I don't know. I really thought it was a cool storyline, especially with the, you know, how the snakes were like a part of like this ritual that involved like evil people that is sucking like their souls, you know, out, and it's in the snake. Like, that's awesome to me. I've never seen anything like that before. There is this movie that's similar to it, but doesn't have snakes in it. It was stupid though. It's called Demon Island or something. Don't ever watch it. But anyway, like I said, I just feel like, yeah, they use like the same stereotypical teenagers, you know, trying to fight for their lives, but I feel like it has like a pretty awesome twist to it, because he's not like, it's not like he's trying to kill them, you know, with a knife. I mean, every once in a while, yeah, he would have that crowbar. There was evil in him. I'm not saying that the film, it wasn't perfect, but I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes you ever get this feel, like when you first start watching a movie, you kind of just like the feel of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I felt like this had like the old school, I know it wasn't a slasher, but it had that slasher kind of a feel.
Yeah.
For me. And I really liked it. Like, no, like I said, it's not a perfect movie. It's not a movie I would watch every day. But I feel like if someone just so happens to like really, really like voodoo movies, like I say that it's worth a watch, because I've seen far worse than this one. And on top of that, I've just noticed the character Sean, he actually plays Seth Gecko on From Dusk Till Dawn. And I think that he makes an awesome Seth.
Oh, the TV series?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's actually not, like, with that show, like, at first I thought it was going to just suck super hard, but it's actually not that bad. I really like it. I had watched it last summer, and I just thought it was awesome. I plan on watching season 2, but I wanted to build up some more episodes. And also, I like Agnes Bruckner. She, in that movie that I told you about, last month, The Woods, with the witches. Do you remember?
No. Vaguely remember.
Yeah. Bruce Campbell's in it. He plays her dad. He makes a brief
appearance. No, I don't remember.
Yeah, well, she's in that, and she's also in this movie called Blood and Chocolate. She's in Vacancy 2, this Lifetime movie, The Craigslist Killer, and The Pact.
Really? She's in The Pact?
Yeah, she's in The Pact.
I don't remember her from that movie at all.
So, I just feel like every single time I see her, she looks different. I don't know if it's the hair, because I know she was a blonde, she was a redhead.
Yeah, it might be the hair.
It just seems that she's not afraid to take on the different roles, because I've seen her in dramas and comedies and horrors. Like, that's pretty awesome. I love when actors do that kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's what I appreciate about Megan Good, because she does, she does the typical stuff. I don't know if we should explain what the typical stuff is. I guess so, because our listeners are diverse. Hi, listeners. You know, the hood movies, the low-budget, black romance comedies, that kind of stuff, just stuff you see on, I don't know, whatever, like, you know, BET films, whatever, what have you. So, I mean, regardless, Megan Good does the kind of stuff that's really, like, you know, focused on, you know, catering to a black audience, but she also does, you know, she's got the new show, Minority Report, that's sci-fi, that's on Fox, but, like, also, you know, she's done, like, movies like this and other big Hollywood films that are, like, you know, genre, so, like, she was in Saw, like, so stuff like that, you know, so that's what I've always liked about her, that she does different stuff as well, so, and any actress, regardless,
right,
but, yeah,
right.
I like that.
I love that she's getting out of doing those typical movies, because I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I remember seeing Stomp the Yard. She annoyed me so hard in that movie, like, so hard, because it's just like she was dating this guy who's clearly an a-hole. He's been an a-hole. But then all of a sudden this new guy comes around. Oh, I shouldn't be treated like this. Why shouldn't you be treated like this? Like, because this new guy is here? You know what I mean? Like, I know that sounds really mean, but it's the truth. It's the truth, but I mean, I like her as an actress, especially with this show that she's going to be in, that Minority Report.
Mm-hmm.
Love that she's going to be in that show. I've never seen her in anything like that, so I'll check that out just because she's in it.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, I'm glad she's doing different things, and that's the thing about her, because you know she's skinny, you know. Really pretty, you know, black woman. So of course she's gonna get those, you know. She's kind of being typecasted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I listen to a lot of different actors and actresses, and like over the years I have, and some of them, if you fall into this particular role, or if you're known for this particular role, those are the only offers you're gonna get for the most, for more or less. And so. And I know some actors who have just, you know, said, no, I don't want to do that. I want to, you know, people who really want to stretch their skills. And I think Megan has always been that person. But again, I feel like she's, you know, you, first of all, I feel like actors, they want to eat. So, of course, they're going to, some roles they're going to take, you know.
Of course.
If it doesn't cross any kind of personal boundary for them. So I can see why she took all of those roles and stuff, you know, establish herself as an actress, get the work, get the paycheck. But, like, I'm so glad she's able to do different things as well.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, so the movie is basically, yeah, it's about kind of this, it's about how this, I don't know if you would call it a voodoo a spell or some kind of a ritual that is accidentally unleashed and kills this guy, Ray. Who I thought Ray was just kind of like this, you don't really get to know much about him. And I think that, I guess that worked to the advantage of him turning into a villain.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of like he was kind of a victim at the same time because he didn't seem like a bad guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
He wasn't like out there like hitting on the girls or like, you know, being a jackass. He was just kind of like, you know, the first time you see him, he's just going to pick up his food. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he's not like a, he's not a bad person. And like, what was the main girl's name again? I always forget people's names.
Eden.
Yeah, Eden, like, she seemed like she really liked him as a person. Like, oh, yeah, yeah. You're here for your usual, blah, blah, blah. And so, he, you know, he seemed like a good guy, you know? I think he, I guess there's an added layer to his character because apparently he was a deadbeat dad or whatever, or people, you know, or for whatever reason. And so you knew that about him. So clearly he wasn't written to be perfect. But again, it was kind of like sad. Oh, yeah, and oh, my God, the CGI snakes. No.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was pretty bad.
That was just, that was so whack. Like, so, you could tell it was fake. And so I didn't like that. Like, I can see you not wanting to use real snakes. I can understand that, but yes, that's why people have snake wranglers on sets and stuff to make, you know, people, it can be done. But puppets probably cost less than CGI. Maybe not. I don't know. But puppets would have been much better, like, if you made, like, a real-life-looking snake and just, you know, made that work. But no, they didn't. And it just, it looked so lame. So, you know, he gets bitten by the snakes. Because after Miss Emmy, Cece's grandma, she digs up the suitcase. And at first I was just like, why is she digging up the suitcase? And then, like, if you're not listening careful enough, you'll forget, like, okay, so that's the other thing that they could have done. Because I think the whole idea was, like, in that particular part of Louisiana, this desolate kind of area, swampy area, whatever, they were doing construction. So, and of course, this is clearly it was a space used for her family's, her Cece's family's kind of religious practices. And so her grandma, Miss Emmy, digs up the suitcase so no one finds it. You know what I mean? So she's trying to, like, keep the evil at bay and not have people, like, you know, find it and not know what the hell they're doing with it and then unleash something. And unfortunately, it gets unleashed. It's kind of messy how it kind of came together, but okay, it's a film. It's, you know, whatever. And so I thought that was, like, a cool idea. Like, why aren't we talking about kind of, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, I thought about this earlier because I wanted to bring it up. This idea of, that's why the first thing I mentioned was kind of focusing on the religion. And I think that the movie could have benefited from that. Of course, the whole idea of a killer being unleashed and kind of the carelessness that happens, that's a part of, like, kind of the horror formula. But why are we talking about these broader issues, like, you know, her mother's digging it up because, I'm sorry, her grandmother, Miss Emmy, is digging it up because they're doing all this construction on what they used for their practice. Why aren't we talking about kind of, like, you know, the kind of the loss of kind of the old ways of kind of doing things and the antiquated religions and how that, you know, how it's prospered for generations within the family, because Cece knows quite a lot about it. She tells her friend, she tells Eden, she doesn't know everything. Like, she's like, I know how to do, like, some spells and voodoo dolls and stuff. But, like, it's clearly something she knows a lot about. She knows enough to know that she needs to protect herself from what's been unleashed. So, you know, like, the idea of tradition all of these cool things about how, you know, people are losing their old ways because, you know, there's this imposition of, like, new stuff just kind of coming up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like, I don't know. I kind of like, I like my horror to have layers like that. I like all kinds of horror films, but, like, I just, like I said, I feel like with this film it had a lot of potential because, you know, you're giving me this taste of something that's really kind of cool, but then you just kind of fall into these traps where you just kill off all the black folks mm-hmm. because it's convenient, and it's really about the girl and the guy and them wanting to be together. Like, I don't give a fuck about them. I want a good movie. I don't know. I think all the sideline stories about being in love and stuff, I'm like, blah. If I wanted that, I watch a rom-com. I don't want it. And my heart, in this particular movie, like, I just saw that there could be so much more. That's just me. I don't know.
I mean, I kind of feel that way as well. I feel like there could have been more to it. Maybe because I wanted more. Because what did you think about Method Man?
I mean, again, he was one of those disposable characters. Like, I was surprised when I saw him. I didn't know he was in this movie. I was like, yeah, there's Method Man. He just plays another cop who, you know, again, someone who knows a little bit about something. It's kind of expansive of kind of the community. Like, you know, some people down south, you know, whatever particular community or space that you're in, you know the stories about .. So, you know, he was just, again, a disposable character who died and... But knew a little bit about what's going on, and, you know, I think he recognized the symbols, if I remember correctly. I don't know. But, like, you know, he was just being Method Man with a bad Southern accent and acting in a horror movie. Like, I don't think there's anything special about him.
And there was that other black girl, Patty.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And her best friend. What in the world? Like...
But I've seen that before. Like,
ugh.
I've seen it before, so unfortunately. But I kind of forgot about her.
Who, Patty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember everybody else. I just always forget about her. And it's crazy because I remember when I watched it around the time, one of my friends, they said, oh, she's from Mount Vernon. And it's like, it's near Yonkers, where I'm from. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, oh, okay. But I mean, I forgot about her. You know, it's like, you know, you get hyped sometimes when people mention, like, kind of like your hometown or somewhere around where you're from. It's just like you're just ready to go tell the world. But not this time, no.
I do it. What do I do it for? Yeah, when I was doing research, of course, when I first started the website, like, some of the older actresses, like Marky Bay and Marsha Hunt, mm-hmm. they're from Philly. I was like, yes! So I understand how that feels.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's all I really have to say about the movie. I don't think it was bad, but I can't go as far as to say that I liked it. Like, I just... Like, I would love to have seen more of it. I don't know. It's just not one of those movies I could just take at face value. I see just so much more mm-hmm. into it. I mean, I thought the, it was a relatively solid slasher. Technical aspects of it. Like I said, the CGI snakes, I hate it. And then, you know, like, what was the other thing that I didn't like? Like, especially when Ray, or whatever he was supposed to be, like, or the evil character that he turned into. Like, I didn't like, there were certain, it happened consistently. Like, when he was killing or about to kill, he did that, like, kind of flash cut editing. You know what I'm talking about? I'm probably not saying it right. But you know what I mean? Where you see, like, flashes and stuff and like, the tape kind of speeds up.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea if I'm saying that right, but I hope people understand what I'm saying. It's like, it was just, I didn't like that either. I just make a movie. Like, some bells and whistles I don't need. And that was kind of annoying, too.
I'm sorry. You're funny.
I don't, I thought something was dumb. Like, so, yeah. Again, it's just, it kind of just fell flat for me. But, you know.
No, I understand. So, what's your rating?
My Minority Report rating? Okay. Now I gotta think about it. I think I want to give it a Sleepy Hollow Season 2, which is a 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, like, you've got, like, you got all these characters of color, but, like, they only add to it for the white characters, or they add nothing at all. And they're just kind of there because we're in the South, and we're in the Deep South, and we're dealing with voodoo, so we have to add some black people, but it's really about the white people. Mm-hmm. So that's why I give it a 3.
Okay. I actually give it the same thing. 3 Sleepy Hollow.
So, yeah. I don't know. Would you recommend it? Would you recommend people see it? Like, and who would you recommend to see it? Like, I guess if
I rather if you'll hate it or love it, I recommend it to everyone. I don't really think that it's that bad.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it. But if you really like voodoo themed horrors, then I highly recommend it. It won't, I'm not saying it'll be the best movie you ever seen, but it has a new, I feel like a new spin on things. What about you?
If you're into horror films that deal with voodoo in some aspect, see it. If you like slashers, definitely see it. I can't guarantee you'll like it, but that's just me. That's all I have to say about that, too. Okay, well, that's it for 2005's Venom, and we'll be back to close out the show.
Hi, this is Rachel True, and you're listening to Girls Will Be Ghouls podcast.
Okay, guys, so we're back. Usually, I always have such a hard time because there's so many great movies that I've watched, you know, during the month, and it's just I never know which ones to pick. Well, I usually pick more than one, but this past month, it was a struggle for me to find one, and I feel like I watched a lot of movies, as always, but I've been trying to, like, try out different ones that I normally wouldn't. Because what I usually do, because, you know, every single month on Real Queen of Horror, I put out a list of the horrors that are coming out during the month. I don't ever try to see them all unless I want to see them. So I usually pick out, say, like 3 or 4 from the list. And I'll probably watch 2 during the whatever month it is. This time around, I was kind of busy and off my schedule of doing that, but I did manage to watch some from the list, but nothing really stood out to me that, like, blew my mind or anything like that. It wasn't until I went on Netflix and I decided that I wanted to check out Black Sabbath that was released in 1963. That movie really blew me away. I absolutely loved it. I've never seen it before. I remember hearing about it. I even remember seeing it, you know, on Netflix. Just wasn't too sure if I wanted to watch it or not. But it is like an anthology film. So it has, like, you know, about 3 different stories. And the first one, even though the movie is old, but it's that good that I don't even want to tell anything about it. But the first one, it creeped me out. I watched it home alone at night in the dark, and I was freaked out by the first one. The other stories, they were awesome as well, but the first one really blew my mind. So for this month, I recommend Black Sabbath.
Okay, well, my recommendation is Final Girl. It's simple. I think I wanted to watch Final Girl because I saw your review for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had seen plenty of news about it and, you know, people talking about it and when it's coming out. And I try to stay away from too many description spoilers. I actually didn't read your review until after I saw it. Because I knew there's like two movies that would seem with similar titles. Like there's a Final Girls movie coming out, and there's this one. And so I saw that this one was in it, and Abigail Breslin, a much older Abigail Breslin, is in it. And I didn't really know what to expect from it, quite honestly. I had a twinge of an idea, but not really too much. It's fairly new, so I will stay clear away from spoilers, but I really did like it. I think it's a solid film. It's very straightforward. There's a lot to say about it, but at the same time, it's very simplistic. It's well paced. It gets straight to the point of what it is. Mm-hmm. There are some pitfalls. I feel like there's some gaps with the movie with me. There's like, I'm trying to figure out the connection between A and B, basically, for certain things. Again, I don't want to give too much away, but I say give it a shot. If you kind of like, I'm trying to figure out how to call it even a female focused film, because her motive, it's not, I don't think Abigail Breslin's character, it's not, I don't think she's fully autonomous. Her motivation, I think she's more ruled by the male character. I hope it doesn't give too much away, but the male character that she works with. But anyway, but regardless, I thought it was pretty cool. I would say definitely, look for it, give it a shot. There's a lot of other movies. I really like that you do like what's coming out in September each month. There's a lot of movies in September and October that I still want to see that aren't released yet. I'm going to try to check out Lost After Dark soon. I know that's Bo Ransdale's his script. He was one of the writers on that, so I'm looking forward to that movie.
Oh, awesome!
That's on Amazon now, mm-hmm. So I'm just gonna pay a couple of bucks, watch it. It looks really good, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. Also, a movie called Clinger. Have you heard about Clinger?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you gotta see the trailer. You gotta tell me what you think. So, Clinger is like a horror comedy that's coming out. That looks like a lot of fun. I guess what I wouldn't recommend is Burying the Ex. I thought that was gonna be good, and it wasn't. Oh man, that was one of those movies. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that because I saw that recently, and I was just like, damn, I really wanted this movie to be good. And it totally wasn't. Everyone is right. It was not a good movie. So, there's that. So that's my recommendation. Check out Final Girl. I think Final Girl is one of those movies that doesn't have a consensus of people raving about it or people hating it. I think it's going to be an extremely mixed bag. A lot of in between even. So yeah, that's all I have to say. My reason.
I watched so many movies though that was bad. And it's like, not like terrible, just bad,
Mm-hmm.
Like, I watched that movie, The Curse of Downers Grove, and it's kind of based off of a true story. A teen, like, she's afraid that she'll be next in line for the curse of the town that basically kills a high school senior every year, like, right before graduation.
Oh, my God.
So, I remember seeing the previews for it. I was like, this doesn't really seem like a horror. It seems like a thriller, but I wanted to see it. I thought it looked pretty good. And plus, it's based off of a true story. So, yeah, gotta watch it. Watched it, and it wasn't, like, terrible, but it was just kind of like, okay. Especially, like, the ending. Like, not the ending. Like, there's something that happens after the credits that has nothing to do with anything. And it's just like, why? Why would you do that? Just give us the credits. Because I usually like to watch the credits. I don't know. That's the thing. I like to watch the opening credits and the ending credits. I feel like that's how you complete a movie. Yeah, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't terrible. But, I mean, you don't have to watch it. If you ever get around to watching it, I guess you'll be entertained. It was just really predictable. And then I also watched Gallows.
Oh, yeah. I didn't read your review yet, but it's like, dang.
God.
I saw you gave it, like, no skulls, so...
It was in my terrible movies for terrible individuals category. because it was awful. Like, it was awful. And it's like, I know that people would, you know, make fun of found footage movies. And, you know, I even did a list on, like, some of my top favorite ones. You know, I'm trying to, like, defend it. And it's dead now. Like, and that the Gallows did it. It was the Gallows. That movie was so stupid. I'm so sorry. Like, it's insane. Like, it makes no sense at all. And, you know, God, I want to give spoilers. But because it's kind of new, I won't. But it just didn't make any sense. And it just made me really sad about life. Because I wasted a Saturday watching it. So. And I also watched Unfriended.
Oh, yeah, you didn't like Unfriended?
No, I liked Unfriended.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was going to suck, just like, you know, The Gallows. But no, it was really good.
I thought it was good. If I was 10, 15 years younger than I am right now, that movie probably would have screwed me up hard. I understand it is a movie for this generation. But I appreciate it because it does kind of, you know, it does well with scares and tension, and I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just appreciate it for being a film for, you know, today's teenager. Because we didn't have social media like it is now when we were in high school, so.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, so. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah,
are we done?
That's it.
All right, well, I want to say, I listened to the podcast Under the Stairs, their anniversary show that just recently came out. I'm just trying to figure out if it's the second anniversary. I think it's the second anniversary. And he mentioned Girls Will Be Ghouls. So thank you, Duncan.
Thank you.
He just mentions us just in general, just being one of the new Legion podcasts. So, and I just want to say thank you, Duncan. The episode was awesome. Listen to the podcast Under the Stairs. High production quality. It's really great. I'm so looking forward to your Blaxploitation horror. The next one you're going to do with Johnny Krug. So thank you so much. I just wanted to just give a shout out. And also, you know, as usual, send your questions and comments if you want to tell us anything. Also, thank you to a couple of people who left iTunes reviews and gave us 5 stars. That's nice. I'm not big on, like, you know, iTunes and, you know, ratings and things like that. But if you want to do that, you know, feel free. We appreciate it. Our email is girlswillbeghouls@gmail.com. Remember, it is not B-E. It's just 1 B in that Gmail account. And Zena, where can they find you online?
Sure. Well, before I get to that, I just wanted to also say thank you to everybody for listening, as well as going to checking out realqueenofhorror.com and Graveyard Shift Sister. Really appreciate it. So you can find me at realqueenofhorror.com, also on Twitter at lovelyzena, and feel free to like Real Queen of Horror on Facebook. It's just facebook.com/realqueenofhorror.
And I am on Twitter. I am at Graveyard Sister. I also have a Facebook page as well for Graveyard Shift Sisters. It is facebook.com/graveyardshiftsisters. I can never get this part right. Also, Tumblr. It's graveyardshiftsisters.tumblr.com, as well as that is it.
Okay.
Those are my big social media platforms. Check out Graveyard Shift Sisters. Yada yada. So, thank you guys for listening.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah.